Jesus Christ. Michelle and young ladies, that was beautiful this morning. We thank you so very, very much for blessing us. Yes. It's all right. Give them and the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Habakkuk? That's on page 1241 in your Bibles. Habakkuk, the book of the prophet Habakkuk. I hear Monique laughing. She must have the same Bible I have. Or else she's real spiritual, knows right where the book of Habakkuk is. One of the two. That's right, I know. The book of Habakkuk. Let's begin reading at chapter 2. And if you could, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I know we stood a long time during praise and worship. And if you, hey, I want you all to know, don't ever feel under law in this church, you know. If the Holy Spirit's moving and your legs are a little bit tired or something, you feel free to go ahead and sit down and lift your hands from a seated position, okay? Don't ever feel like you have to perform in this church, because we want everything led and directed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not right in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of living for Jesus in the last of the last days. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this church and in our lives. And Lord, today I'm asking you to take these next few words I'm going to attempt to speak. Lord, use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, to speak to your people. You give me the words, Lord. Just like the prophet Isaiah, you fill my mouth with what you once said today, Lord God. And help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know we can do nothing without the mighty anointing of that Holy Spirit upon us. And I humbly ask you for that today. And Lord, I ask that you will uplift us all and pour a fresh movement of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives today. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I read this week an article that startled me. And it was on the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the gentleman who wrote this article, I've never heard of him before, he obviously did not understand the truth of what Paul called Christ crucified. The Holy Spirit gave those words to the Apostle Paul when he said, we preach Christ crucified. He wrote in his article of how, and he was speaking specifically of the fellowship we are affiliated with, World Evangelism Fellowship, saying that they are becoming a cult of the cross. I want you to think of that for a moment. They are becoming a cult of the cross. First of all, that's not possible, because a cult is founded on an erroneous belief. Secondly, the cross can never be over-preached or over-taught. And when we speak of the cross, lest anyone misunderstand, we're not talking about two wooden sticks. We're not talking about the instrument of death that Jesus Christ died upon. We're talking about his substitutionary atoning work on that cross in place of all of humanity. You cannot turn that into a cultish activity. It's impossible. But yet, as I read that article and I thought about that title, The Cult of the Cross, I thought we must be so very, very close to the rapture of the church. And this gentleman who wrote the article claimed to be a Christian, incidentally. He claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And yet would write an article like this, and it made me think, Lord, how close we have to be to the rapture of the church. How close we have to be to seeing you appear in the clouds to remove us who believe in you off of planet Earth. Because that when the truth of this word begins to be referred to as a cult, I want you to think of that. When God's truth begins to be referred to as a cult, it shows you that the attack of the enemy is on in these last days to try to discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way he can, using any method that he can. And to the child of God living in these last days, just prior to the rapture of the church, if we're not careful, we could allow the enemy to make us discouraged in what we believe. Because nobody wants to be labeled as a cultist. Nobody wants to be labeled as being spiritually out of step. But may I submit this to you this morning, my brothers and sisters. To be in step with Jesus has always meant to be out of step with the world. To be in step with the world has always meant to be out of step with Jesus Christ. The world is never going to accept this gospel. And then we see the events unfolding in the Middle East, where every one of the nations mentioned directly in Bible prophecy are now undergoing a major upheaval. Iran, Egypt, Libya, every one of them mentioned directly in Bible prophecy. I heard Brother John Rosenstern this week on his show. It made me feel good that I'd heard from God, because a few weeks ago as I was ministering, those of you who are here may recall, I said I felt a spirit of prophecy coming on me that Egypt would have Muslim leadership. John on his show said that he also, looking at the evidence that is there, that the new government of Egypt will no doubt be dominated by Muslim extremists, preparing the way for the Antichrist to come. How close must we be to the rapture of the church? And with us being that close to Jesus appearing physically in the sky, first to call all the saints of God off of this planet and to open up the graves, hallelujah, and bring back with him all the spirits that have died in Christ before. And we're going to have that glorious meeting in the air. How close must we be to it? Hence, Satan's efforts are going to intensify to discourage our faith, to make us feel like we're out of step. And we are with the world. If you're in step with the world, you're in trouble. That's why you can readily see when the world begins to place its seal of approval, so to speak, on what we preach, we're in trouble. Now, I know that's, think about what I'm saying for just a moment. Most of the gospel coming over, or what is purported to be gospel that comes over the Christian TV nowadays, is no gospel at all. I want to say that again. It needs to sink in. It's shocking to say, but it needs to sink in. Most of what comes through the Christian media is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it's preached properly and correctly, will always include a presentation and an explanation of what he did on the cross. Therefore, it's impossible to become a cross cult. It's altogether possible, though, to reject the cross and miss the central theme of the message of this book. And that's exactly what Satan wants the church of Jesus Christ to do just prior to the rapture as we live in these last days. He's using every method at his disposal to corrupt this gospel, to get the believers to believe in something other for their justification, their right standing before God. He wants to get you to believe in something other than the cross, and he doesn't care what it is. And he offers up a plethora of very good sounding and good looking things. programs and plans of men. Psychological help. I was reminded this week one more time, years ago when I preached a message on psychology, how badly it offended the people as I repudiated openly the psychological techniques, because man's problem is not ultimately psychological. Man's ultimate problem is spiritual. And when the spiritual gets fixed, the psychological will get fixed. And the spiritual is only fixed through a right relationship with God. And a right relationship with God can only occur through faith in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a hand of praise. Man, I feel that this morning. Hallelujah! As we read this book of Habakkuk, I believe the Holy Spirit led me there for such a time as we're in right now. Man, oh man, I feel excitement welling up in my soul today. I think you sense it too. I think you've sensed it since the inception of the service. God, the Holy Ghost, is doing a new thing with this church. Hallelujah. It's not new to Him. It's in His Word. But He is renewing us, I believe would be the better way to say it. To prepare us to be warriors in this last day for the kingdom of God. Because it is not our rhetoric. It is not my oratorical ability as pastor. We have the message the world needs to hear. Christ and Him crucified. And God wants this message put out to a lost and dying church and a lost and dying world. And He's sending us people to help us get it done. Hallelujah. And He's going to be sending more people. And as they come, we're going to experience a greater anointing of the Holy Ghost and a greater movement of the Holy Ghost than we've ever seen before. Not because of who we are, but because in whom we have believed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Young people, never forget what it felt like to have the Holy Ghost flow through you this morning as you were singing. Because that's better than Jack Daniels. It's better than cocaine. It's better than any boy or girl or anything else this world might offer you. And you know what? There's no hangover, glory to God. There's just more joy and more grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My. Lord, help me to get to this text this morning. As Habakkuk penned these words, you can read chapter 1 and find out that Israel was being treated ruefully and cruelly by the Chaldean invading armies. And the prophet Habakkuk, seeing this, knowing that God had promised Israel He was going to restore that nation, he can't understand. He's in consternation. He's like, Lord, in essence, to put it in the modern vernacular, I'm doing everything I can to live for you. And I don't understand why this has come upon us. Something the Lord showed me as I was preparing a message this week. And the Word will bear it out. When the world persecutes the true believers of Jesus Christ the hardest, there's been the greatest moves of God in history through the little band of believers. And the true believers have always been in the minority. God has never, read this Bible, He's never used the masses to accomplish His work. He's always used the few that would believe the unadulterated truth of His Word and not back down from it for nobody. Not back down from it for anything. Because the true believers in Jesus Christ, they're citizens of another kingdom. And their lives have been sold out to something greater than anything this world can offer. That's the anointing and that's the army I see God raising up right now. In little bands of believers all over this world, all over this nation, where he's making them to where they care little about what anybody thinks of them except Jesus Christ. They don't care what the world thinks of them. They care what Jesus Christ thinks. They don't care what their denomination thinks of them. They're more concerned about what does Jesus think of us. And when we come, and when these churches come together, and I would put us in this group to have church, their goal is not to come and say, look, and come to our church and see how pretty we are. Come and see what a great program we've got. When this body comes together and bodies like it that God is raising up all over this nation, there's one thing that's going forth. Jesus Christ. The glory of Jesus Christ. The magnificence of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. Do you get the point? They're not interested in anything else but exalting Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel the preach this morning. And Habakkuk in his consternation in chapter 2 over Israel being treated so cruelly. He can't understand it. And isn't that just like human thinking? When we as believers, because we've been taught wrong for the last 20 or 30 years, we've been taught that, oh, if you just come to Jesus, everything will be rosy. Just put your faith in Jesus and you'll get rich and you'll never be sick and you'll have a big home and a big automobile. Ain't that been it, Sister Nellie? And it has become so ensconced and interwoven into how Christians think. Especially Christians here in the United States of America, that we think any type of distress, any type of trial, oh, well, what's wrong with my relationship to God? Can I tell you something this morning? More often times than not, God, let me tell you this first. God controls everything. God's in control of everything going on in your life. And if there's a trial going on there, if there's heartache there, He's allowing it right now. But He's a good God. He's a good God. We can stand firmly on what Romans 8:28 says, Andy, and we know, hallelujah, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, hallelujah. He controls it all. But the thinking is that if something's going wrong or there's an issue or a problem, well, God just must not love me. And really, the great prophet Habakkuk was in the same mode of thinking because Israel had been so blessed for so long before they backslid on God, turned away from that sacrificial system in the Old Testament where they would offer up the animals. They quit doing that. To put it in the modern sense, it's like a believer who turns away from faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. And God loves Israel enough to send judgment upon her. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. In other words, as a believer in Jesus Christ and living for Him now, you can't live like you used to live comfortably. The Holy Ghost will make you feel so uncomfortable. If you lie, cheat, steal, or do anything you ought not to do, He'll make you feel like you're hanging over hell by a spider web. And it ain't pleasant when He does that. And you're looking at somebody He's had to do that to pretty often. I know what I'm talking about. I know I'm probably talking to a real holy bunch this morning. You all thought your pastor was all holy and never had to face nothing like that. He's had to spank me so often, I couldn't tell you the times He's had to do it to me. But after every spanking, hallelujah, when I've seen my wrong and I've said, Lord, I'm sorry, I've blown it. Those loving arms have reached around me and said, you're mine, and I love you, and I've got grace for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't sit in consternation over what's going on in this world. And these idiots, excuse my harshness, but that's nothing else to call them, that we have in positions around the world of political power. They're idiots. They are. Because they're so full of arrogance and pride that they feel they can solve this world's issues and this world's problems. And they can't do it. They're going to accept a liar very soon who's going to arise. The Antichrist. That's how fooled and what idiots they are. They're not even going to know the difference between the real Christ and the Antichrist. Him they're going to accept. But in these last days, church, God the Holy Ghost is moving. He's moving this morning. There is a move of the Holy Ghost on around this world that I believe with all of my heart is going to literally rewrite the book of Acts before our very eyes. And I'm going to tell you why that can be possible and why it's not going to come through the backslidden TV evangelists and preachers. Because they're only interested in lifting up themselves. They're only worried about the size of their ministries. But this move of God that's going to girdle the globe, that's beginning even now. Hear me on this. I don't back down from saying it. This move that's going to girdle the globe is going to have one thing at the center of it. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Every song is going to be Jesus. Every healing is going to be Jesus. Every Holy Ghost baptism is going to be Jesus. Every soul saved is going to be Jesus. Every church service coming together is going to be Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that this morning? So don't be in consternation when they call us cultists for walking in the truth. That's the time in which we're living. Don't let consternation and the world's opinion of you overwhelm you. But Habakkuk, I've got to get to it. Here in chapter 2, verse 1, look at me. Look with me, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. The idea here is he's not literally climbing a tower. The prophets in the Old Testament time were referred to as watchmen because they were to spiritually watch over what was coming into Israel as a nation to see if the nation of Israel was following the dictates of the Word of God. They were watchmen. And Habakkuk was in effect saying, although I'm in this consternation and I don't understand what's going on, I know that my God does, and I know I can go to Him and He'll speak to me. Can I tell you something this morning? And you young people, again, I so feel the Holy Spirit leading me to address you today. You can go to Jesus Christ and ask Him about anything that's going on in this world or in your life, and He'll speak to you, just like He did to Habakkuk. God will speak to everyone in this congregation if you'll take the time to lock yourself away with Him and say, God, what do I do about this? What do you think about this? He will hear and He will answer. And He delights in showing His children what He's doing. It's just sadly a lot of the ones that call themselves His children aren't too awfully interested in what He's doing in the world because what He's doing so often conflicts with what man wants to do. But Habakkuk had a hunger. God, I want to know what you're doing. Anytime anybody approaches God with that attitude, get ready. You're going to hear from Him. You're going to hear from heaven. And Habakkuk said, I'm going to climb the watchtower. In other words, I'm going into an intensive time of seeking the face of God over this consternation, over this problem that I don't understand. And why in Israel we're having such a difficult time right now? Because I've tried my best to warn them and to preach to them the truth, and yet they reject it and walk in their own way. And now we're being invaded by this Chaldean army that's raping our women, robbing us of our businesses, and leaving us desolate. And we are the children of God. What's going on, Lord? But He says, I'll climb my watchtower. Look, this is faith. This is faith. He said, I'll watch when I get there what He'll say unto me. Habakkuk knew, I don't understand, but I know the One who does. Hallelujah. And He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Go to Him. Go to Him. Young people, when your lives, something, event enters your lives, you don't understand. It may be cruel. It may be mean. You go to Jesus. He'll always help you out. He'll always help you out. He'll always be there for you. That's for everybody. Oh my God, I feel an anointing like I haven't felt in a long time this morning. He'll always be there. When this world's on fire, Jesus will be there. Hallelujah. And He'll be there for you and for me if we'll call upon Him. And Habakkuk said, I'll go call upon Him. He'll answer me. Look at what Habakkuk expects. I found this very interesting. And what I shall answer when I'm reproved. What I shall answer when I'm reproved when I go to God. See, Habakkuk knew that I'm a child of God. And if He is chastening me right now, it's not His fault. It's my fault. I'm doing something wrong that's displeasing God. And I want to find out what it is. And I know He'll tell me. My, He will tell you. Let me tell you, won't He, Michelle? I tell you, I used to think it was, and it is spiritual, but I used to think, oh, God's going to so appreciate me if I go to Him with Well, you know, when you get in these prayerful modes of where you're just, you know, feeling so wonderful and, oh, God, if there's anything in my life that displeases you, let me know. He'll let you know. Take my word for it. He'll tell you, and he'll be very specific with you, too. But not to be mean to you. Because he said, if you'll, now watch this, if you'll allow me to fix this in your life, then I'll bless you. Now I feel to hone in on this very hard this morning. We can't change our own life. Whatever there might be going on in your life right now that the Lord is showing you that needs change, that's displeasing him, if you want to fall flat on your face and make the situation a lot worse, you're going to try and change that thing yourself. Because we as humans are totally helpless to change our lives. That's what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ so hard for so many people. And that's what makes another gospel so appealing to people. Oh, well, you're having an alcohol problem? A disease? You have the alcoholic disease? Oh, we understand. Go through this 12-step program and you'll be fine. And you go through the 12-step program and every fiber of your body is still crying out for a drink. Jesus Christ can change you to where you never crave another drug or drink because he changes the spirit. He's the only one who can. So don't, when you go to God, if he's showing you something that he wants to change or that needs change, don't you try and make that change because you can't do it. He knows that too. He's not mad at you over it. He just wants you to identify it so you'll go to him and admit what we call coming to the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, I'll never make this change in my life. I throw myself on your grace and on your mercy. And his response is, now I'll make the change for you. It's called grace. 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 Glory to God. That's what makes Jesus so wonderful. Is that he paid the penalty for us and will provide the power to make the changes that need to be made. That's the gospel. And Habakkuk says, I'll wait and I'll see what he says unto me to reprove me. I've got to hurry. Go on to verse 2. And the Lord answered me. Hallelujah. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. I don't have time to go into this now to the depth I wanted to, but we'll get what the Holy Spirit wants us to get out of it. Write it and make it plain. The Holy Ghost is saying to this church and churches around the world that will stand firm in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, make it plain. Make it so understandable when they scream at you for preaching it that you don't back down one iota, you still make it plain. You can't help yourself. Only Jesus can help you. You can cry. You can call your sin a disease. You can call it an alternate lifestyle. It does not matter. God still calls it sin. And only sin can be dealt with through the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was saying through the prophet Habakkuk, it was showing him, this is what you need to do. Make my words plain to everyone. That's your answer, Habakkuk. That's what will restore Israel. Make my words plain to all. And there was a system they used in this day of when the prophets had a message, they would post it on the very door of their house and on a large wooden plank-like box end. And they would write it in black candle so that everybody walking by, when they read that sign, there was no mistaking what the word of the Lord was. So God is going to use this church and churches like it around the world to make his word plain and understandable because it's going to be hung on everything we say, do, sing, teach, and preach. Your answer is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, glory. That's it. Verse 3. He goes on and gives Habakkuk a more specific answer now to his question of why Israel's under the persecution and not restored to the place that Habakkuk wants to see the nation moving. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. When Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth, as he is soon to do so very, very shortly, he's going to establish his kingdom on this planet. And he will rule this world from his throne in Jerusalem. He was telling Habakkuk, wait, Habakkuk, wait for it. Let's go on. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, the idea is Habakkuk, in my time, everything I'm telling you is going to be restored. We've come through a period in the church world where we have lost so much of God's power. Now, I'm here to tell you, this Bible says, Jesus said, I believe it's John 14, I forget the exact verse. He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these, because I go to my Father. I'm going to tell you why we've seen so little healing power and so few miracles and so few signs and wonders in the modern church. Because all those things only come through Jesus and His Word. They won't come through human showmanship. You know? God forbid I make fun of anybody else's hairdo, but they don't come from combing your hair way back in a pompadour and standing ramrod straight in front of a crowd of thousands announcing faux miracles. Deb, can I use your purse today? I don't want to embarrass her, but I cracked me up when she came in. Is it okay if I... She's got a lovely purse. And I looked at it, and I'm thinking, man, that's great, you know. And she said, no, it's a faux designer. I forget what name it was. But meaning, you know, it's a similarity. And that's what the church has seen over the last 20 or 30 years, because the church has turned from the cross. They've turned almost in totality from the cross. They may still mention it, and let me tell you this. I feel the prodding of the Holy Spirit to say this. Just because somebody preaches a message on the cross one time does not mean they're preaching the cross. Okay? I hear people all the time, oh, did you know Brother Big Bucks from the Congolian Cathedral? I tuned him in the other day, and he was preaching the cross. No, a mere mention of the finished work of Christ on the cross is not preaching the cross. Let me tell you how you'll know when you're preaching the cross. When you get to the state the Apostle Paul was in 1 Corinthians, when he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Every message, if it's on healing your family's going to get healed through the cross. If you're going to be delivered from alcohol, it's going to be through the cross. If your life is going to change with you having a lust for pornography and other women and other men 24 hours a day, your deliverance from that is going to come through the cross. Every good and perfect thing is going to come ultimately through the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In verse 4, and I'll be closing on this. Behold, his soul is lifted up, is not right in him. Do you get that? The person whose soul is lifted up. In other words, the person who looks to himself for his deliverance and looks to human might and power to gain a right standing with me. His soul is not right. That's what the Holy Spirit was speaking to the nation of Israel and to us today, even through the prophet Habakkuk. If you're looking to any other source for your help in this life, if you're looking to any other source other than Christ and what He did on the cross to change your life, you will not be made right with God. Now that's another thing that the true gospel has a real rub with the world. They don't mind it if you say, well, Jesus was a great spiritual leader. Just like Buddha, just like Muhammad. They were all great spiritual leaders, and Jesus is just a way to get to God. It's your way to get to God. That's the universalism and the ecumenicalism that so permeates most of the churches in America today. But Jesus is not a way to God. He's the way to God. Muhammad won't get you there. Islam won't get you there. Jesus said, I love to quote it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's not my words, it's His. And Jesus Christ is exclusively the only way to be made right with God, and specifically through faith in what He did at the cross. There is no other way. You say, but I try to be good, Pastor. Well, your goodness falls short. Your soul is not upright in you because you're looking to you to make yourself right with God, and it will never be. But in closing, look at the last line of verse 4. But the just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by his faith. How do we live for God? Being children of the last days. Habakkuk plainly gives it to us right there. The just shall live by his faith. Let me break that down quickly and I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your attention this morning. You've been so attentive and responsive to the Word of God, and I appreciate that. The just shall live by his faith. What do you mean, the just? I'm going to say a term that probably most of you know, but it's not mentioned much in church circles nowadays. It's called being justified before God. The just. Those who are made right, literally, is what the Scripture is saying there, before God. How are you made just before God? How does God declare us as human beings not guilty of any sin? Because we must be 100% perfect in His sight for Him to relate to us. That's troubling, isn't it? We have to be 100% perfect in every way for the God of this universe to relate to us as human beings because He is holy. So how can it be? Knowing that we're these flawed, sin-benighted, sin-nature-driven human beings. The just. Those who are declared not guilty. Let me give you a very simple and elementary illustration. Say you're going 190 miles an hour down Route 70. And Tara, who just got your license, this don't apply to you. There's no grace for you, Tara, okay? No, I'm just kidding. You're going 190 miles down Route 70. You've got you a Lamborghini, and you're thinking, man, ain't nothing can catch me. But there happens to be a state trooper who's got the engine of engines in his car, and as you go shooting by him, he pulls out behind you, and he not only catches you and pulls you over, he says, come on, we're going down to the courthouse. You're guilty. And he drags you before the judge. And the charges are read against you. And you turn to the officer and say, officer, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And that officer then looks down at you and says, all right. Judge, I want to pay their fine. What's their fine? That's what Jesus did for all of us on the cross. We had a sin debt that we couldn't pay. And we were dead to rights, guilty. But he said, I'll pay that penalty. Because God's penalty was there is no remission of sin without the shedding of human blood. Jesus said, I'll pay that penalty for him. I'll go to the cross and I'll shed my blood because it's guiltless blood. The just, those who are declared not guilty for God, shall live by his faith. Notice it doesn't say his works, his performance, him trying to be good. It says by faith. The only way we can be made that 100% perfect in God's sight is by faith. But God has given a provision for that to take place through what Christ did for us on the cross. There's why your faith must be exclusively in Jesus Christ. And the very second the sinner comes to Jesus Christ and says, I'm guilty, Lord. Jesus says, I'll take you in as my own now. And I, through the power of my Holy Spirit, will now make changes in your life that you could never make, left to your own ability. I'll transform you and keep transforming you into a new person as long as you just keep your faith in me. Let me tell you something. It's going to trouble some of you, but I can't help it. It's the truth of the gospel. I'll use this example. And I know these people, and I don't believe they'd mind me naming names. They were the ones discussing it. Brother Donnie, the other day, Donnie Swagger, was talking on Francis and Friends about how he'd taken a lot of heat when his father had fallen, tripped into a sin earlier in his life. And Donnie had come out and said, my father did not backslide. And that's absolutely right. If committing a sin causes you to lose your right standing with God, then I'm here to tell you this morning, ain't no person in this building going to heaven. Now, I want you to think about that. Think heavy on it. If our relationship to God is predicated upon our performance, and we lose our right standing with God based on the commission of a sin, then ain't none of us going to heaven. We might as well go down to the local bar and all of us slug some Jack Daniels and snort some cocaine and behave like animals. But no, you don't backslide when you commit a sin as a believer. You don't want to know what does happen? The Holy Ghost comes in and dangles you with that spider web over hell and makes you feel like you're the slime of the earth. That's what happens, but you don't lose your right standing with God. This is going to help somebody this morning. You may think and you may be feeling, and Satan may be telling you because you're feeling so bad over committing a sin before God, and he's telling you you're not even saved anymore, you're not right with God. He's the biggest liar there ever was. Because let me, I'll prove it to you. The mere fact you're feeling bad over the sin you committed is proof positive that the Holy Ghost of God is in your heart and life. He's the one that's making you feel bad. If you would have done it before you knew Jesus, you wouldn't have felt bad over it. You'd have went out and done more of it. But now you have been changed by the power of God, and the holiness of God Almighty is residing on the inside of you. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Yeah, he'll make you feel bad over doing wrong, but he won't disown you. Glory to God. He wants to lead you. He wants you to repent over it. And he wants you to know this ain't the way to live. It's wrong. And he'll make you feel terrible. The Holy Ghost will, but that's proof God's in your life. But it's the point being, the just shall live, shall walk with God by his faith. Living for God in these last days, that's how we do it, church. We live by our faith in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, who may chastise us, who may allow events into our lives to get our attention, to turn us around, but he won't quit on us and he won't disown us as long as your faith is in the finished work of the cross. At the end of the day, the Holy Ghost holds up both hands and declares you the winner. Hallelujah. But Donnie was right when he said, Daddy didn't backslide. He did commit a sin. But the committing of a sin is not backsliding. You backslide when you turn your faith away from the cross of Christ. And as long as your faith is in that finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ for you, God is going to keep working with you. I don't care if everybody else has quit on you. And I want to tell you something. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, glory to God, glory to God. Said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. One of the things that the Lord's telling me to hone in on right now, to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Sin's a horrible thing. And possibly some of you have suffered the worst kinds of abuse. And maybe you've wondered, why did it happen to me? I can't answer that. It was sin. Sin on somebody else's part. But I'm here to tell you there is a power in Jesus Christ that can heal that hurt. Hallelujah. Don't wallow in it. Don't make the mistake. What Satan would love to have you do is wallow in it and wear it like poor, poor, pitiful me. I know it's hurtful, but the Holy Ghost wants you to know today, Jesus Christ has all power to heal every broken heart. Hallelujah. I think of little, what's her name? Not Barbara Jane, Vavasseur, who sings down there, and musicians, you can come. In Baton Rouge, beautiful little Filipino and Latino, and I believe she's American Indian lady also. For years, her father horribly abused her sexually, treated her wrong in every way. But Jesus Christ has come and transformed her life. Now, she now sings the gospel around the world. Hallelujah. And she works with the schools in Louisiana. Listen to this. Because all of their psychological techniques and all of their man-made programs weren't helping the kids who were victims of abuse in these schools in Louisiana. And they started noticing whenever she came in and they gave her free rein, She preached Jesus to them. And they started seeing those kids improving grades, improving their attitude and their overall lifestyle, changing. That's what Jesus Christ can do and will do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? I need to shut up. The Holy Ghost is telling me. Lord God, Lord God, there is none like unto you. There is none like unto you. The just shall live by faith. I want to ask you this morning, are you right with God? Are you right with God? There's only one way to be right with God. The just, those who are not guilty before God, must live by His faith. Are you living by faith this morning? Are you living by faith? And I'm speaking your spiritual life, of course, but that will have a great effect on your natural life and changing it as well. Are you living by faith this morning in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross? If you're not, then you're not right with God. You're trying some other way that God will not honor. And at times it may make you feel good, but it still leaves your soul with a longing. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy that longing in your soul. And Jesus Christ can heal you of anything. Anything, anything He can heal you of. I want to ask you again, are you living by faith in Jesus Christ? If not, then you're not right before God. The just shall live by His faith. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you down front, because if Jesus saves you, He'll save you. And it is so easy to get saved. There is so little in this Bible that tells us how to get saved. You know why that is? Because God's so quick to do it to anybody who calls out to Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll just call upon Him today and put your faith in Jesus and what He did for you at the cross, He'll save you and He'll begin to make changes in your life that you could never make. He'll begin to shape you into a new person in your natural realm. Spiritually, you'll be born again. You'll be that new person, perfect in God's sight. You'll be just in God's sight. And I want to ask you this morning, are you just before a holy God? Are you declared not guilty before a holy God? And there's only one way for that to happen, your faith being in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I won't embarrass you, but quickly, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and please, no one moving right now in reverence to the Holy Spirit, would you say, I want to be right before God today? Would you slip up a hand? If you're not in your heart and you know it, but you want to be, would you slip up a hand and just say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to make you walk this aisle and us have a big emotional experience. It may be emotional as you stand there in your pew. But if you want Jesus to save you and declare you not guilty today, He'll do it. But you must repent of your sin, come to His cross and admit, I can't change my life, Lord. I can't cleanse myself from sin. I can't walk right before God without you, Jesus. I'm coming to you. If that's you today and you don't have that and you desire it, would you slip up a hand right now? I'm going to give the Holy Ghost just a moment as I feel many are thinking. You're making a very sober decision. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It cannot be minimized. And the importance of this decision cannot be overstressed. If you need time to think about it, then think about it. But I urge you, don't take too long. Are there any? I'm not right with God, but I want to be just before a holy God today. I want Him to cleanse my sin. I want Him to change my life as only He can do. Are there any? And I'm going to ask everyone who would you come and present yourselves in at the altar of the Lord this morning? Praise God. As you're coming this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit instructing me at this altar call. And we're not going to embarrass, again, nobody or single you out. But the Lord has been speaking this one word to me throughout the earlier portion of the altar call. Two words, really. Inner healing. Inner healing. Only Jesus can do this inner healing that you need. Some of you, the Holy Ghost has made you aware you need an inner healing. There's something in your life that He's identified that you're very uncomfortable with. That's because the Holy Ghost is moving on you. And you know it's a sin. And He's not, the Lord is full of love and compassion toward His children. He's not here to beat you up. But He wants to heal you on the inside by giving you power over that thing. It may be a hurt. It may be unforgiveness. It may be a sin you're committing in your thought life, or it may be a physical sin you're committing. And you've been very, very uncomfortable with it. He doesn't want to embarrass you in any way. That's why there's no need for you to tell it to me. As I've told people many times, you're not looking at anything holy up here. I'm just one starving man telling other starving people where they're giving out free sandwiches. That's it. No more, no less. He wants to heal you as only He can do from any hurt. Don't nurse that hurt any longer. That's what I feel the Holy Spirit saying. Don't nurse that unforgiveness any longer. Don't nurse that sin any longer. You know it's destroying you. Those things will, unless we let Jesus deal with them. The things I've just mentioned will destroy us. And you don't have to tell nobody else about it but Him. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't you glad you don't have to go to me wearing my collar backwards to tell me who needs as much help as you do? Amen? Missed a great chance to say amen there. It's Jesus. And He's going to heal some of you right around this altar this morning. And it may just be between you and Him that knows it. That's all that's important. That's what we're shooting for. That's what He wants to do. That's what this whole message was about. It was for you, to get you the inner healing you need. A psychologist can't do it. I feel to press hard on that this morning. They can't lay you on the couch and ask you how you feel enough to get this thing out of your life. It's going to take the power of God. But praise God, through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, grace is available. Power of God is available to you today. Let Him heal you. Admit you'll never get healed any other way except through Him. And He'll do it then. He will do it. Watch Him do it. Hallelujah. I feel faith. Now between you and Him, if that's you, would everybody bow their head? Everyone, please. Between you and the Lord. I'm going to ask everyone who would, just as a submission to Him, would you lift your hands? And if you need that inner healing in any capacity right now, whatever it is, just tell Him, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I'm bringing it to you. Will you heal me? And He's going to do it. His power is flowing like a river through this altar this morning. Now you pray to Him, and I'm going to pray for you as we're at this portion of the altar call. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I'm talking to some scarred people today who have been wounded horribly by sinners and possibly even their own sin. And Lord, where you understand, you have compassion. We're all so doomed, Lord, to repeat our difficulties, except you come in and heal us and change us. For every scarred soul today, as your word said in Luke 4:18, heal the brokenhearted today, Lord. Heal that broken heart today that was treated wrong, although they did nothing to deserve it. Heal them today by the power of God. We look exclusive unto you, Jesus Christ, the healer. Go deep in our spirits today, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. And root out, Lord, by the power of God, the ugliness, the sin, the hurts, the unforgiveness, the improper attitudes. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, this hasn't been just a purely emotional thing this morning. I know your power has flowed around this altar and into people's lives. Lord, I thank you for healing today. I thank you for healing. I thank you for turning lives around today. I thank you for changing us today, Lord Jesus, by your power. We look unto you and will continue to look unto you as our source. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You are the healer, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I want you to listen to me for just a minute. Some of you need some instructions now. God has just miraculously, by the power of his Spirit, reached down into you and healed you. You know it. You know it right now. Some of you know it. Something's changed. Satan's going to tell you that nothing happened. He's going to try to get you to believe nothing really changed. It did. All he can do is lie. But the mere fact he's taking the time to tell you that proves he's lying. That you got something. You maintain this victory that Jesus gave, this healing that Jesus gave you today, by keeping your faith in him. Okay? Don't deviate. Don't deviate. What brought you your healing this morning, the healing of your soul and spirit, is what will keep your soul and spirit healed. Keeping your faith only in him. Only in him. Praise God. Praise God. Man, hadn't this been a great service today? Glory to God. My Lord, my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he's just getting started with Crossway Community Church. I believe the things we're going to see are going to rival the book of Acts. Because he can trust us with it. Because he knows we're wanting to get people to him. We're not trying to build a big ministry. I'm not trying to build a big fanciful lifestyle for me. I want to see his kingdom built. I want to see his people built. I want to see the power of God in revival fashion like in the book of Acts, and he's going to give it to us. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and praise him, church. He's so precious. He's so wonderful. Thank you, our dear Jesus. Thank you, our wonderful Savior. He called glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Before we're dismissed, I want to thank everyone this week. I was so proud of you as a church and as a church family. And the way you pitched in to minister to Sister Deb and her family. And just from the bottom of my heart as your pastor, thank you all so much. I know many of you around this altar this morning worked tirelessly, and we had all kind of glitches take place that couldn't be helped, and timings and everything like that. And you just picked up the ball and just kept running with it. And I so thank you from the bottom of my heart as pastor, and I know Deb does too. We're going to pick up again this Wednesday night on our study. I don't know what question we're going to be addressing yet. I'll have to let you know on Wednesday night. But it's been a busy week, and I haven't had time to look and seek the Lord about Wednesday night yet. But you'll know when we get here Wednesday night. And it'll be good because it'll be from God's Word. So plan on being with us if you can, man. The last